Blog Talk Radio.
All praises to our Elohim, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Creator, our Ancient of Days. All praises. He has brought us up out of Egypt, and he's soon to bring us up out of Babylon. And as we do, as he does this, there's still a lot for us to do. Just because we think we know, we don't. Tonight, I want to recap quickly based on last week's show. I don't believe I was clear. I clarified enough of what I was trying to convey in terms of the empathy and not really caring about these folks. Now, I care, and I definitely have empathy for the downtrodden, for the oppressed, for the innocent. Yet I cannot muster the energy to give empathy to the wicked. So we have to be very clear on that, because people will take not caring to the extreme and say, well, where were you when I was struggling? You know, and that person that you're talking to or talking about really is struggling and really didn't have, because at the end of the day, this was our own doing. This was our father's punishment for our own doing. So for us to, as a nation, as a rejuvenated nation, we can't fall victim to what our forefathers fell victim to. Now, what did they fall victim to? They fell victim to having a stony heart. They fell victim to having a stiff neck. They fell victim to having no empathy for the nations, which meant that they fell victim to not loving their brother or sister. Well, now we are in a different time period to where we have the grace and mercy of the Father to look back and be able to see the error of our forefathers and the errors of their ways, and to be able to fix their errors and not fall into a snare of their errors. And all of this is mental. All of this is a control of mental capacity. And what we have done is, which was a defense mechanism, what we have done is to harden our hearts now in order to survive and get through the last 7 years. Now, you know, am I empathetic to the wicked? Absolutely not. They get their just rewards because our Father is just, because the our saints are under the altar crying for justice. We are still crying for justice. So yes, the wicked need get punished, and I will not shed a tear. However, those that the wicked are still punishing and still downtrodden and still crushing today, all the empathy for my heart goes out to them. Now, I'm not going to be bamboozled into believing that, you know, all of what I'm shown on the Tell a Lie Vision is true. But I can still, in my spirit, pray for the oppressed, pray for the innocent, pray for those that are struggling today. And that is the difference between the empathy or having empathy and not having empathy. So we can't get it twisted by just not wanting to to care about these people, this world, these nations, and the people in it who are being oppressed, because we also have been oppressed. And because now we have come out of our oppression to a degree, and our Father is now giving us mercy and grace, and he's laying his hand upon the necks of the heathen and the Gentiles, we have to do our part, and that is to show the love and empathy to those that the wicked are now turning their face to. So that said, I do have a treat tonight, a conversation that we will have here in a moment. But I want to read, before we get into this conversation, I want to read 1 Kings, because this is an important piece of empathy, because empathy, there's several forms of it. Empathy is wisdom. Wisdom is empathy, because like I just finished explaining, we have to know who to have it for and who not to have it for. Okay. So 1 Kings, this is just the setup. This is Solomon being the king, coming from Pharaoh and taking Pharaoh's daughter as his wife, praying to the Father and asking the Father for wisdom. The Father gives him wisdom. Now we bring it forward, and this is a story that we've all known, but this is empathy and wisdom. Solomon had to show empathy. He had to show the wisdom of empathy in order to be wise. And this is the key. This is where we are now. We have to be wise as we provide empathy and energy to the world. In the past, we just gave that away. We were always empathetic to everybody. We always forgave everybody. We always gave our energy. We always gave our prayers. Now we have to hold tight to those, that energy, that prayer, the menorah, our light, our oil. We have to hold tight to it, but we have to give it when it's time to be given. That's the empathy. So anyway, 1 Kings 3:16 through 28. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, the empathy was that he listened. He was able to listen and hear the spirit of these two women. And in doing so, he made a wise judgment. Now, that's what we're talking about tonight. The wise judgment to bring forth the empathy, to give empathy. the wise judgment to give empathy, because that is for us to decide. And in deciding, we have to make a decision, and a decision is judgment. Judgment doesn't just lay at the feet of the law. It lays at the feet of the decision of each and every one of us. And in that decision is empathy. Now, let's bring forth brethren, my brother, Brother Shamar. All praises, brother. Are you there?
Shalom. Shalom. Yeah. All praises, brother. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Shalom. Shalom. Grace and peace to all the kingdom family and those who realize and those who will soon realize that they're a kingdom family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you for having me. Like I told you, the Father used you to get me off the fence for all of these years. You could take a beating from people in ministry with an agenda, man. That will attack your self-esteem to speak out, and you know, only if you agree with them or if you're following them and kind of repeating what they're saying. But if the Father has you stand on certain principles and things they don't agree with, they will reduce you to nothing. They will attempt to do that, you know. That's some of the things that I suffered in my thought process as the Father has given me some amazing insight that, again, you know, you don't want to share it, but, you know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
From person to person, you kind of shy away from speaking out to too many people because your self-esteem has been beaten. But, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about it. What do we have tonight? We're talking about empathy. And, you know, one of the major things about empathy that I've discovered in my walk and on my journey is that empathy covers you in the beyond. The Third Testament talks about the beyond. So that's in your eternity. And it is in your best interest to consider that what you see happening could be happening to you.
That's right.
And never to forget that. You know, there's, you know, several places in Scripture that speak about how to treat people that we are, you know, naturally opposed to be careful. We could look at Deuteronomy 23:7-8. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
You getting it, or you want me to get it? You got it?
Yeah, I'll get it. And yes, sir, man. So it's Deuteronomy 23:7-8. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter the congregation of the Lord in the third generation. You know, when I read that, the first, you know, what came to my mind, the Third Testament, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, and that's a, you know, that's a new conversation. I realize, you know, I mean, it was very new to me, and I've been taking my time and allowing the Father to kind of, you know, just soak me in it. But I cannot find any fault in it. It's chillingly beautiful, man. And, you know, it's an individual experience, man. You have to be called to see it. That's all I can say, man. But, being careful, man, just how you treat people, because it could be you. You know, it's just all about even loving your enemy as you, you know, well, not loving you, but praying for your enemies. You know, that's been a hard one, you know, in terms of why would the Father ask us to pray for our enemies? Well, it's to cover you. You know what I'm saying? So it all turns back, if you look at the theme of how of the responsibilities given to each and every person that the Father's created, it all turns into, again, it all points to personal responsibility. You know, you're responsible for the development of your fruit, and anything that would get in the way of that, boasting, high-mindedness, hate being hateful, you know, all of the lower vibration of operation in this reality, man, it puts you at serious odds with the Father. And we just recently learned, that it's actually us that's going to judge ourselves and before the Father, because in the midst of that righteousness, you won't be able to take it. It's like you have a cousin who murdered people in Connecticut, and he comes to visit, but he's the only one that knew he murdered them. And you say, "Hey, man, I want to stop by the police station and visit my brother." You know, why don't you come in and meet him? You know, could you imagine? You know, the turmoil that man is going through, because he knows what he's done. You know, so we have to be careful, man, how we treat people. You know, I'm so happy to be learning this, man. You know, you know, the truth that you reap what you sow, I've lived it, man. You know,
I don't mean to cut you off, but that's what I've always said. You know, this is a psychological warfare. He told us that we fight not flesh and blood, but principalities in high places. So if we take this just on the psychological level, it would only make sense that we will convict ourselves. That's why I always say, you know, we have to first self-reflect. Then we can self-convict. Right. Then after self-convicting our own consciousness, then we can self-correct with the help of the Father, with the help of the Spirit.
Right.
Because what's happened is that the conscious and the subconscious has been dormant for so long and suppressed for so long that the world has been able to utilize our consciousness for their own gain. Now we've decided that we decide to take our consciousness back and to raise our subconsciousness. And as we've done this over the last 7 years, which is interesting, the 7-year tribulation, you know, we'll talk about that momentarily, but at the end of the day, you know, when the last 7 years we have been subtly and methodically raising our subconscious to our conscious, which then brings forth the collective consciousness. And a lot of people are not, a lot of the nations, I'll say it like that, the heathens and the Gentiles, are unable to recognize that because that's something they've never seen. That's why it was written that they will be astonished at our salvation. Now, you know, I always thought about that, and that astonishment of salvation is something that is truly perplexing to them. They don't know whether to run, hide, be joyful, be scared. That's astonishing. That's an astonishment of sight. And so within that salvation, that is within our salvation, we bring the empathy. We bring the passion, the compassion, the wisdom, the knowledge, because our mother, the wisdom, the dove, brings that. That is all her traits. Wisdom brings compassion and empathy, because if you're not wise, then you don't care about anybody else, only yourself. And that's what the nation is for. So when Ish is over there screaming bloody murder that they must kill, well, right off top, you already know that they're not the people, because they're not being wise. And if they are Israel, they would have what? The Spirit. The Spirit does what? Give wisdom. Wisdom does what? Gives compassion and empathy. This is Psych 101.
Right.
This is purely Psych 101. But while when we were in our curses, when we were, I'm trying to use another word other than curse, when we had that millstone tied around our neck, when we were in our chastisement, that's a good too.
Right.
When we were in our chastisement, we could not understand Psychology 101, but they could understand it, okay? They understood how to maneuver and manipulate our conscious. They just couldn't get to our subconscious, because subconsciously we wanted what? Justice. They want us to believe that our people wanted freedom. No, we did not want free Edom, okay? We wanted justice. And in getting and wanting this justice, we had empathy for everyone else. Now that empathy cup has been full, okay, just like the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, so has our empathy. Now it is a measured amount of empathy to give out. Because here's the deal. If you don't have empathy for yourself, you can't give it. If you don't have respect for yourself, you can't give it. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to give love. So the whole logic of this is that we first have to deal with ourselves. That's what this 7 years of resurrection has really brought forth to the forefront. It is, if nothing else, take care of yourself, right? If nothing else, take care of yourself. Sister Pat was saying time is of the essence because time is short. Damn right it is. And if we don't see that, if people don't see that, they are not wise. What are we chasing after?
Right?
We're chasing after wisdom and the Spirit that the Father continues to put into our face. And as our face, you know, as our face turns even more and strengthens even more to the Spirit that we're seeking, we're gaining empathy. And that's going to be a tell. You know, Christ said, I come to bring division. I come to bring variance. So when we think about that, we normally would think about variance as person against person. But that's also variance within yourself, your own spirit. You're going to be fighting against your own spirit because such a terrible thing has been done to the Hebrew people that the psychology, their psyche has to be recalled. It's got to be a recollection, right? That's why he said, I'm going to bring everything into remembrance. Now, how does that fit into empathy? Well, he showed empathy to us by allowing our mother's spirit to come back to us. So we also have to show empathy to those that are out here struggling under the foot of the revived Roman Empire. And it's revived by way of Ish, because the Romans aren't in control of their world. It's Ish that's in control of their world. And here's the irony. I'm going to sidebar that for a second. But here's the funny of the whole thing. Ish, as we know today, has full control over our elected officials, so-called elected officials, okay, in which our elected officials take our money that we pay into the coffers of these degenerate leaders and gives it to Ish, who then in turn takes that money and buys our leaders.
Right.
How?
Our Sharptons and all. Yeah, I got you. I wouldn't call them leaders. But.
No. I'm not even talking about just the Negro leaders. I'm talking about all of them.
All political leaders. Yeah.
Right, but they take our money and buy our leaders with it. So here's the question. Here's the question that we were talking about before the show started. Here's the question. Because what is empathy? Tell us what empathy is again, brother.
It's when you're able to put yourself in another person's shoes.
That's right. So can we put ourselves in the shoes of the Palestinians?
Oh, can we?
Yeah.
Now I believe according to an election, it could happen in terms of how the Most High distributes souls into this reality. I mean, that's something to really consider, and I think that's one of one of the things to be careful about, and the reasons for empathy is, again, that it could have been you, and that's what I understand about it and have learned, and of course, in recent, that, you know. Now, if you could, I don't know if you know where that, there's a scripture that speaks about to be, not to boast. I know it talks about, but, you know, in a way that not to boast at the fall of your enemy, that it, I don't believe it says in that one that it could be you, but there's some statements to be careful about, you know, boasting over your neighbor's destruction, that mm-hmm. it could, because it could have been you. So that's the wisdom that you were talking about, that mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. empathy is, you know, so I would say yes. I mean, you know, in a timeless reality. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't choose who you are in this reality, you know, so that's the reason I would say that, yes, it could have been us, but it's not. So we need to be careful, because the Most High is, there's no beginning and no end to him. And you talk about timelessness. Now we're learning, you know, the cycles of souls that come, and I'm not quite sure how that works in this time in my life, but I do believe those entries and exits from this reality, and I'm just glad that I'm where I'm at, and I know you are. glad that you're in the position you're in at this time. So, you know, it's all about being careful, man. I mean, that kind of sums it up.
So I got another question. I got another question.
Yes, sir.
So can we have empathy for the Congolese?
Can we put ourselves in their shoes?
Yep.
I mean, I think any person on this earth, regardless of the level of wickedness that they've done or not, again, it could have been us. It could have been you. So I mean, it's about being careful. So that's the position I've meditated.
So you know where I'm going with this,
on
right?
What I understand.
So you know where I'm going with this, right?
Oh.
So can we have empathy for Ish?
Right.
So can we have empathy for Ish? I'm gonna answer that first.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it may be convoluted with sympathy. I wouldn't say we could have, you know, the sympathy aspect. But the empathy is in, from my understanding, is being careful, of how, you know, how we see it. It's like, you know, I spoke to Brother Yaqua, Shalom, grace and peace, if you're listening, about we were talking about all the things that were happening in the war, and it just came to me like it did before, man. When we see these things, man, we just got to just look at the ground, man. The same way when white women walk by, and, you know, in our history, man, you know, look at the ground, don't look at it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, you know, just look, just Don't even, yeah, brother, because and keep your head low, you know, don't raise it above the, you know, the line of fire, brother. It's just as serious as that, you know, just really being careful. Yeah,
my thing with this is, no, there's really no need to have empathy for them, because they, the only time that we will have empathy for them is, as it is written, they will come and worship at our feet and know that our Father has loved us. So at that moment, yes. But up until that moment, no. Why? Because we still want justice. So would I have empathy for the Greeks and the Romans and the Arabs? See, a lot of people forget that the Almoravids, which were ancient Arabs, had our people first in slavery. They're the ones that found Judah in the sub-Saharan Africa, and they began the sub-Saharan slave trade. Then Ish and them wanted to get part of the game and be who we are, and created what they call, which is not true, but which is called the transatlantic slave trade. So these traders have to pay. And, you know, as much as I say, you know, I will treat them the way that I want to be treated, I can say I would. I would. I honestly would. I would not mistreat them. I have no power to mistreat them at the end of the day. Yet, at the same time, I don't necessarily have any empathy for their consequence. See, this is the key. The empathy is the consequence. So do we feel empathy for their consequence that will occur on them? Or do we have empathy for their situation today? Like, do we look at them and have sympathy and go, you know what, you guys don't even really have a clue. You guys are not wise. I have sympathy for you. I would venture to say, no, I'm not really looking at it from that perspective. I'm fixing me at this time. But when the justice comes, I won't have any empathy for their consequence. I may feel a bit of sympathy for their consequence, but I'm not going to try to put myself in their shoes for their consequence. No, they're not. I would never think that I would replace them for their consequence. No, I've done that. My spirit and my ancestors have already taken that, you know, taken that toy. So now you made a very good point. Sympathy, empathy. Yes, I can have sympathy for what they're going to go through. I can have empathy for what the Congolese, what the Palestinians, the Philistines, everybody who is innocent that these people, these wicked people, are putting through a war. I can have empathy for them. Where in fact, our ancestors, our parents, grandparents, great-grands, they've gone through that. So yeah, I can feel for them on that, okay? But I won't have any empathy for Ish, the leadership in the world, those principalities, those that are subjected to the principalities in high places, okay? I think that's a lost cause. So I don't, it goes back to what I said last week. I'm not throwing my pearls to these swine, meaning I'm not giving my energy, I'm not giving my prayers, I'm not giving my thoughts to these people. Now, when there's some person that comes in and some Gentile who wants to say, well, you know what, you don't really know what you're talking about. You know, Jesus is this and Jesus is that, and the Bible says this and the Bible says that, and it is contrary to what I know that over my studying over the last 7 years, over the last lifetime of my own studying, I can have sympathy for them. I'm not going to have empathy for them. See, this is why we have to understand the wordplay, because, you know, it's like today I'm in this class at work, and they were talking about, essentially it was empathy. It's basically customer service, how to talk to customers on the phone, yada, yada. And I brought up the golden rule because I didn't want to say the commandments up in, you know, the establishment of Ish. So I said, you know, this just appears to be treating people the way you want to be treated. And the lady was like, yeah, that's right. But in this scenario, in this situation, it is treating people the way they want to be treated. You see that?
Right.
So, absolutely. So here again goes the sympathy. So why should I have empathy if you're having me treat you the way you want to be treated? And so when you look at Ish out here talking craziness, talking about they going to just murder and they going to destroy, you know, how can I have empathy for them, or how can I treat them the way they want to be treated? They're already being treated the way they want to be treated. So we're asking for justice. So justice is me taking a step back and saying, I'm not treating you any kind of way other than the way I want to be treated. Because going back to your point, because when all is said and done, I'm going to be judged on that point. How did I treat Ish? Even though I knew Ish, and I'm just using Ish as anybody that is contrary to us, because it's not even Ish. It's the Zishes with the Z, the Zishes. Not even Ish, right? It's Zishes. They're running around just like the white nationalists. They're both running around trying to create a narrative that is a lie pushed on the world based on color of skin, based on a fictitious knowledge of I am the people or we are the dominant people, when both of those are not true. So at some point, we have to take a step back and say, you know what? Okay, justice needs to be had. I don't have any empathy for their consequence. I do have sympathy for all of them that are being killed based on these neopaths that think that they are either A, the people, or B, they are dominant. So, where we are with the empathy. And going back to Solomon used wisdom. So let's take that today. Let's take that to today. Somebody comes to us and they are asking us questions, and we're getting these two conflictory scenarios in front of us that we have to make a decision on. Now, are we, in order to make a decision, a wise decision on whatever scenario that is placed in front of us with these two contrary scenario situations or people or things, we have to take a step back and put ourselves in their shoes so that we can understand, so we can recognize, right? There's your empathy, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at that as well.
You see? But in doing that,
you
actually utilize wisdom so as to be able to take a step back and put yourself in their shoes to make a proper, wise decision. But what's happened in our world, no one has empathy for anybody. They don't want to be in their shoes, and yet they want to judge them still based on no fact, no information, no truth. So that's why justice, to me, has to come, one. And two, in order to be empathetic, we have to first understand the wisdom that we have to understand our own individual and collective wisdom. That's how I see that, the empathy. And I'm not I'm not saying that everybody's bad or everybody's good. What I'm saying is we have to be wise now. We have to be very, 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 very wise. We have to be wise as, what's the scripture? We have to be wise as.
Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
There you go. There you go. We have to
wise
be.
Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Absolutely. I want to bring something out here based on the things you just said. So, you know, I think this is what you're saying and, you know, and what I'm seeing right here and what the Father's showing me over time is, I mean, it's going to amalgamate through this right here. So let's do Isaiah 42 and 6. And let's chop on that for a minute. Bring it out.
My God, let's do it.
All right. So Isaiah 42 and 6, I, the Lord, have called you into a righteousness and have taken hold of your hand and submitted you as a people's covenant, as a light unto the nations, right? Mm-hmm. So submitted you as the is basically called you to be a template to the world as to how to dwell in the earth in a way that pleases the Father, you know.
That's right.
So in a way that pleases God, Yahweh, you know, different people have some different names. Okay. And by the way, just, you know, FYI, there's scripture that says that my word, my law is above my name. So, but we're not going to go there right now. So again, Isaiah 42 and 6, the Lord have called you into righteousness and have taken hold of your hand and submitted you as the people's covenant, as a light unto the nations, right? So let's go to Ezekiel 33:11.
Wait. Go finish that.
Go ahead.
Go to 7.
Okay.
Go to 7.
Now, so in my notes, I have that in my notes, and we're going to go ahead and bring 7 out.
Okay. So I'll start
and
at
see,
6.
See, now I'm going to tell you this. Say it again now.
I said I'm going to start at 6 and go to 7. But go ahead. What'd you say?
Okay, I got it.
You ready?
Stand by for 1 second. Now, hold on. We got it. And I made a copy of that in my notes with just that one, and we could take it forward into the number 7. So I'll start at 6 again. And the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the Gentiles. Okay, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
That's right.
So
the prison, you know, again, prison, they say it's the jailhouse, but prison is your mind.
Absolutely.
Prison is your mind. So that is what we are here to do.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, and I'm going to let you go forward with it, but I just got to interject here. That's my point.
Go ahead.
About empathy. We're here to do a certain thing, right? To bring a light. We can't give the light to the darkness. We just can't give it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's the oil. We can't just say, you know what, shoot, I got a bunch of oil, let me give it to you. No, that's not how this works. Oil is wisdom. Wisdom is oil. In order to have the oil, you have to have had wisdom. So right now, we are set up to be the light, to bring the light to the prisons of the mind of the people. And that's not, and if Ish and Zish and the Gentiles and the heathens do not want that light, we are not here to force it on them. That is what they have done. They have imposed their will on us. We will. And we're not imposing anything on anybody. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that was a good that was a good script. That was a good script.
So let's look at it. In I'm in my notes, but I'm going to go to Ezekiel just in case, you know, you want more of it. But it's because I have posted these in my notes to bring out. But Ezekiel 33:11, right? Let's talk about it. You know, in the camps, we would say Shlika. Shlakia.
You say Shlakia.
yeah, okay.
Ezekiel 11.
And 11.
Oh, 33
and 11? 33 and 11. Yes, Ezekiel 33 and 11. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. So say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So that's, again, that's back to what I would say, you know, another conversation concerning dropping the ball of showing that to the nations. You see, that's just because no man on the planet should rejoice in the death of other people, you know, take mm-hmm. pleasure in the death of other people. And but it was first to start with us Israelites, mm-hmm. you know, with mm-hmm. our forefathers, and they seen the practice of the joy of murder and the joy of hurting another man, hurting your neighbor, hurting women, whatever, you know, just this horrible treatment of you know, your brother and sister that share this reality. And that's a bad representative of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because people will quickly say, you know, even brothers that roll that way, you know, they quickly say, oh, you can ask them, is the Father love? Oh yeah, you know, Yahweh is love. Okay, then why aren't you love? I mean, this is a mirror action. This is, you know, this reality. We're supposed to mirror the Father in the earth. That's
right.
Really, in a nutshell,
that's
what
right.
we're called to do. I do know the scripture that says, what is the duty of man is to, I think it says it's to fear Yahweh and to keep
right.
his commandments.
That's right.
And to fear Yahweh and keep his commandments is to fear being pleasurable over the destruction of anybody, you know, and that's that aspect of keeping your head low, you know, and just being careful. Now, you could go down and say, you know what, he wouldn't listen. I mean, this is what he gets, you know, but just simply taking pleasure is, that's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying to take pleasure.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But
verse, we have no pleasure in what's happening. But hey, what's happening was it was merited, definitely. But I am not pleased to see anything happen horrible to anybody, brother. But
no,
if it happens, you ask for it.
right. And
I'm not laughing at it in that way. I'm just saying, bro.
No, I kind of laughed
at the way I said it. But so you see what I'm saying? But it should grieve our heart that you made a decision to cause that to happen to you.
That's where I was going to go with it. See, because at the end of the day, we all have to take a step back and say, you know what? These scriptures were all discussing and talking to and by Israel or the Hebrews.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you can't, you know, when we look at so there's two separate scenarios going on. There's this law and this consequence towards Israel, and the rest of the nations were supposed to look at Israel and see the law and understand the consequence, but they didn't. Okay, so goes back to what you just said. They chose that. Okay, yes,
right,
he
right,
had no
right.
pleasure. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked
right.
turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So he's not asking the Gentiles.
But initially, not to cut you, but to interject, this I was speaking of as the template to the world. Mm-hmm. Israel was supposed to do this first. That's all I was saying. This was the initial requirement of a part of what was called being a light to the world, was that
That's
we
right.
would function
That's
by
right.
not
That's
taking right. pleasure in the death of first of all, in the death of our brothers of the tribes. But mm-hmm.
Our forefathers were some wicked people, okay? I am
Absolutely.
The first to
yeah.
acknowledge that, and that's why the scriptures are written uh-huh. the way they are. They're written to give us benefit, to show us what will happen, what has happened, and what will happen based on consequence of the actions of our forefathers, because
yeah.
judgment starts at the house of Israel first, right? So, okay, I get that. Yet at the same time, when justice, see, because here's the difference. Here's where we've got to understand that we are no longer under the punishment, per se, of the consequences of our forefathers. We're no longer there anymore. But mm-hmm. we still can be under Jacob's trouble if we choose that, right? Yet the Gentiles, the nations, won't acknowledge what they've done. So they won't repent. They won't atone for what they've done
mm-hmm.
to our people, even though some of our people deserved it. The Father wanted it. They went overboard. We know that. That's not,
mm-hmm.
that's easy. Yet at the same time, mm-hmm. these people, because they won't repent, because they won't atone for, they have to pay. And the payment, unfortunately, is not on them that did this, but on their children. Just like the mirror of Israel. It happened not necessarily just to them who said, let us have Barabbas and let his blood, let our Messiah's blood be on us and our children.
Right.
Okay, that occurred. There's truth in that. But, and there's the conjunction, but the nations have that now. Why? Because they said, we don't care about these people. Let their blood be on us and our children. You understand?
Right.
This is the dichotomy of how the scriptures have lived throughout the ages. So now when it's the wicked's turn, because it was our turn, all right? Israel was the righteous, became the wicked, and was held to account because of that. Now the nations...
I think it's important to bring something out. I'm sorry to cut you, but go ahead, finish now the nations. Go ahead.
And
when you finish, I
want to
bring something out before we get too far away from it. Go ahead.
Okay, the nations now are the wicked, and they also have to pay or have consequences of their actions. That's all I'm saying, you know, and the empathy and the consequence, all of that is one to me. But go ahead, say what you wanted to say.
I think it's really important to bring out what we talked about three weeks ago. And we were talking about, and hopefully we could cover this again, concerning the name and what. See, names, titles and names from the Father, they're action. They're not just titles. You know, it's Israel, you know, or Israelite. It's something that's done. And remember, we talked about when have Ish ever done what Israel really means, man?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, just something that simple, like, what does that mean? What is Israel? Okay, why do you call yourself that? Oh, okay. Oh, the, Israel is to be a light to the world. Well, have you ever been a light to the world, man? I mean, never, man. It's just never. Been a thing of pride that we are the people of God. And
it's just been murder, brother.
The way we want to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just been murder.
They've never done what Israel means. And one day soon, most high willing, I love to bring out the meaning of Israelite, you know, and how that has been just trampled upon, man, to the point where I'm ashamed to tell people that of other nations that I'm an Israelite, because they see the kindness and, you know, they can relate to, you're a Christian. Yeah. I mean, I follow the anointed one. Absolutely. Let's go there. You want to speak Greek? I'm a Christian.
Right.
So we can go there, but I think sometime I say, you know, I want to let them know, listen, you know, I'm an Israelite because Christ was an Israelite, but I'm like, you know, do you have enough time for that conversation to clean that up after what we've seen on TV concerning what they know as Black America claiming to be Israelite? It is not a pretty picture, man. It's an absolute horrible representation of the Most High, man.
Why don't you tell the nation how? What your background is, how you're affiliated to that, and why you saying that?
Well, my background, the father started to tweak my conscience in the 80s, running hard into music and drugs and alcohol and all of that. So just to really get through it fast, I'm not actually, you know, I do plan to do a testimony at another time, more
sure.
detail. But fast forward, I moved to North Carolina to try to clean my life up and kind of see a new start from how I was living. And it took a while, you know. So I went through I went through Sunday church, and I'm happy about this, though, man. I mean, my journey, I'm really happy about it. You know, I've learned a lot, man. You know, you can't speak to something that you haven't experienced. So, you know, I went through that time through the 90s and fast forward to the 2000s, around 2005, 2006, I was with a church and with a brother that we visited another church and the brother, an older gentleman, which was a teacher, a pastor or whatever, he kind of pulled out coattail and said, hey, you know, do you realize the Bible has been hijacked? And we was like, man, what are you talking about? You know, because, hey, you know, we were teaching, you know, pretty much, you know, let this mind be in you, you know, which is still, you know, an absolute command. It's, you know, we need to let the mind of Hamashiach, which is the Christ, you know, the Messiah be in us. We need to let that mind be in us. But, you know, we went into the whole reality that Deuteronomy 28:68 was speaking about the, you know, transatlantic slave trade. It's like, man, that is undeniable. Look at that, man. You don't need to take a ship to Egypt, you know. I mean, you know, not in the sense that it in the first way it happened. So that really got our attention. And so, you know, to move a little faster, you know, it grew into where we made connection with One West. Some brothers that had moved down here to North Carolina, in the Raleigh area. So, went into, camp doctrine pretty much, you know, and camp here in Raleigh, it is called, Yahweh's Camp. And I was a part of that. And, but you know, just like the brother that called himself a priest, you know, he would always tell me, he and I were very close before we even gotten in ministry at all. You know, he was like a brother to me, you know, worldly brother at one time. But but back to the story, he always told me, man, you just never really been all the way in. You know, kind of what he meant was I never really followed him all the way. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Because I'm checking this thing out, man. I'm not jumping both feet in and and tripping on a Hebrew Israelite play that you a priest and I owe you my money for blessings.
Right.
Now we're not doing that, brother. You know what I'm
saying?
Right. So it got real crazy. Some people who knew this, you know, the dynamic, you know, they may have thought that I thought more of him than I actually did. But, you know, I love the brother even to this day, man. I mean, I wish the Most High would help the brother snap out of the hate and the mindset he's in. So, but just, so I went through that, man. I was in a camp, you know, probably, I don't know, man, about 12 years, you know, and I just seen the behavior over time, man, the lack of integrity, the camaraderie aspect, you know, it wasn't, you know, based on the right thing. It was based on, yeah, man, we all believe the same thing. You know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, we can get 20 of us going 95 south and we all say, yeah, we on our way to New York, but you know what, you on your way to Florida, bro.
Right.
But we feel good about it because it's 20 of us, you know.
That's right.
So, you know, we're an emotional people, and you know, my brother, yeah, you know. So I'm very sensitive to that, man, because I'm a realist, man. I'm just like a to the head type of person, man. You know what I mean? I don't like fake relationships and playing brother and playing this and playing that. So, you know, it just, you know, just came to a head, you know, when I seen the heart of the brothers, man, that, you know, and I talked to them about the love. And I said, you know, there's a common denominator here, and it's a lack of the teaching in the law of Christ, man. We're not dealing with the love, you know, and the brother that calls himself a priest, he comes out and tells me, well, ask me, hey, you know, Shamar, what kind of, you know, you talking about this love, what kind of love are you talking about? And I'm like, brother, you call yourself a priest, why you don't know what kind of love I'm talking about? And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, that, this is what I'm talking about. Like, you guys are just, we don't have a clue. I'm not going to say we, but the camps, you guys don't have a clue. Now, I'm not saying every person in the camp don't have a clue as to what that love is, but a lot of times, man, you know, you're afraid to make a move because of how people see you, and, you know, nobody knows anything. They don't know you to do anything but keep Saturday Shabbat and be there with your fringes and your mitre, mm-hmm. your turban. And you know, but deep down inside, man, you know, man, you're in something that's almost like a gang, man.
It's a gang.
You know what I'm saying?
And on, yeah.
So, and on top of that, you know, I mean, you know, I'm a very friendly person. So, you know, I meet people of all nations, and you know, mm-hmm. they may, you know, ask me, you know, things about, you know, what my belief system is based on my behavior. You know, I've had mm-hmm. it happen. Hey, man, you know, you, what church you go to, man? See, you know, are you a minister? Or is it, I said, no, bro. You know, I just tell them my name. I don't do titles. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I keep my head low.
I don't want to cut you off real quick, but I want to reiterate
what
we talked about in this situation. It's like them calling themselves priests. Well, did the father tell you to give you that title? You know, I mean,
no,
we are soldiers.
This,
we are nothing but soldiers, grunts in
brother.
This. And all
soldier,
these people,
bro.
That's right, all these people that sit out here and talk about, well, I'm a priest this, I'm priest that, or I'm priest that. Listen, that's the same principle as if when Christ said, if they tell you I'm in the wilderness, don't go. If they tell you I'm in the mountains, you know, that's the same concept. Every time I hear these people, it's just like the Gentiles. God told me this. God told me that. God, I had a dream and God told me, came to me and told me that Donald Trump was going to win. See, all of it is Gentile mindset, and Gentile mindset is not a color. That's where they go wrong. They want to say the Gentiles is all white people, whatever. Well, that's not true.
No, it's not.
There's no truth in that, you know?
Nope.
And the whole thing is that's why this whole consciousness has come at the right time for us, because if we allowed the camps to be our voice, imagine how all that would be. Imagine the sour taste in the mouth of our own people. Because you had to hate. Because the father said you will either hate the one and love the other. The camps want you to hate the other and love the one. Okay? And we're saying, hey, just love. You even got to hate.
Yeah, let's deal with this real quick. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but empathy is love. Empathy is love, right?
Empathy is love.
And so is justice, right? And so is consequence, right? All that is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what people fail to realize is that the nations and the camps, brethren, a lot of them, not all, and not all the nations, but what people fail to realize is that love is, we have had this, so the nations never could understand what love is. Love is the unconditional love of wisdom. It's wisdom, okay? Because wisdom was taken from the earth for a time, love turned into a lust. It turned into a way of controlling the senses and the libido of people. It never really formulated into the actual pure love of wisdom as it was meant to be. And now, when wisdom has come back to us, we are now showing the world love through our own actions, through our own self-convictions. And the next phase for us is the empathy. See, we couldn't have empathy in the beginning because it's too much to ask the children of the oppressed to give empathy to their oppressors. Consequence. It's too much to ask. We had to have had more knowledge. That's why I said knowledge will increase. Knowledge is what gives us the boldness, the strength, the wherewithal, the wisdom to even accept the empathy of the other nations, to even give the empathy to the other nation. So we've as everything is falling down, we're being built up so that we can show the light. It's like you and I talked before. It's the menorah.
Right.
It's our light. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right.
The menorah has to be what we maintain. And yes, it was dull. Yes, you know, because our menorah was gold in us, but it got dull. And there was only one light, one fire left, and that was what the Holy Spirit asked our Father to allow her to keep with us, and He allowed us to have that one light, that one spark, so that when it was time, that would light our menorah, so that we can then go and light the nation's menorah. But the nations have to accept it. That's the key right now. And that's where the empathy comes in. Because we don't have empathy for those that boast, talk down, hate, destroy. We're not here to give them empathy. We're here to give them justice. And you know, my words, what I'm saying is we're here to give it by way, we're here to issue it. We're not passing the judgment. It's like the patrolman who issues you a ticket based on your actions to go, you are being summoned. We're summoning the nations to court, to the court of the Father. We're not judging them.
The way, it looks like to me the Father's doing his thing concerning that. Because, I mean, you know, hands down, I mean, the scriptures say that vengeance is mine. So, but, you know, to speak to, before we get too far away from it, the title thing, just to put it out there, Romans 12:3, man, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, man. And grace is really like knowledge. I'm just really realizing that, like, when you're given grace, you're given insight. You're given knowledge.
Right.
You're given a certain type
foresight.
Of authority.
Right.
Yeah, foresight, you know, because, yeah, it just, you know, it just stood out when it says, for I say through the grace given unto me. You know, that's foresight, insight, you know, instruction, you know, the ability to see spiritually, you know what I mean, to see metaphysically, you know, that's grace, man. That is grace, man. That's grace is what brings us to life in this life, man, because there are a lot of people walking, but they're walking dead. And, you know, one of the other things, man, my man, Yaqua, man, listen, man, he hits hard, man. I love that brother, man.
He does.
And he always say, you know, there's a thing that you could be right, but you could be dead right.
That's like, right.
Man, is that not
dead
true?
Right?
Man, you're dead in what you're right about what you're saying, but you're dead in saying it. The way in there's another statement. I think it's just a worldly way of saying it, but it's the truth without love is brutality. So you know, I could say what I'm saying to you is true, that it went down like this, that this is what you are. But the way I tell you matters. It matters based on what am I going to reap by how I'm telling you this, because I'm sowing something when I'm dealing with you now. I'm sowing something, and I need to be careful. You know what I mean? But that's what the brothers in the camp, you know, just to touch that, they don't realize that they're sowing some bad seed, brother. They're sowing some bad seed. But go ahead, bring it out, brother.
No, you're right on point. This is what I'm saying. Like, these conversations, listen, we got to have these conversations, and where we don't agree on everything, it's rightfully so, because everyone has their own walk and their own journey, right? But we have to have these conversations in front of the, nation, so that they can see that, hey, we just trying to have conversations. We just trying to do the right thing. And as we do the right thing, what's happening is it's rubbing off on our nation. And I tell you, it's a pleasure. It is.
Right.
It's a pleasure to hear these things, because, you know, when you watch these other nations, it's just the joke that I put on the other day was something Fang, this guy out of Hawaii, Fang, and he's talking about, I sent it to you. Let me see. What did he say? What was it? Wait a minute. Don't go nowhere. Hold on. He said the Gentiles' communications at this point is about why my prayers go unanswered. Now, this dude, J.D. Fang, is one of their higher-up preachers, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're asking simple stuff. Silly questions. Why my prayers go unanswered? Well, wait. I thought that you. First of all, your prayers are going on unanswered because we're not helping you in it. Second of all, your prayers are going unanswered because you're the wicked. So now we go back to what you. Where were we? Ezekiel. Where were we? That of the wicked.
Ezekiel 33. Right.
Yep, 33:11. So we go back to the wicked.
11:8. Saying to them, as I live, said, Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
That's right. So, but he doesn't listen to their prayers, though.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want them to die. He wants them to live, but he needs them to get it right, but he ain't listening to their prayers. So then how is it that, so what's the, how can they gain? How can they gain, brother? The only way they can gain is by cleaving to us. Does that make sense?
Yes. It makes perfect sense.
So them being wicked, unable to have their prayers answered because we're no longer, you know, standing in the gap or the cut for them, okay? And we're no longer giving our energy to them. they now have to cleave to us to have their prayers answered. Isn't that not biblical?
Well,
isn't that not what has been written? That's the whole point.
Let's bring it out. I'm gonna bring it out. James 4 and 3. Yeah.
Bring it out, brother.
Ask and receive. James 4 and 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust.
Right.
That's why. And see.
That's right.
Clinging to us, we're going to have to do it first. They're going to have to see that, okay, how are my prayers answered?
Right.
How are they answered? And the light has to happen. That, you know, they have to have light to see how is it done. It's when you're not doing it for selfish reasons, you know, that you could rise above other people. So, you know, they needed to see Israel do that. That was the initial call and order that we be a light. That they say, hey, man, you know what? When one of them's eating T-bone, they all eating T-bone. Look at that.
That's right.
When one of them driving a Mercedes, they all drive the Mercedes,
right.
You know, and they can see the blessing in that, but they haven't seen that. So, you know, they can't, there's no benefit to clinging to the wicked of the Hebrew, I call them, I said this before, man, with Yaakov, I said, you know, the brothers that say, oh, they're the Israelites. I said, you know, many of them may be Hebrews, but they're not operating in the function of an Israelite, man. Because Christ, Hamashiach, was an Israelite. That was look at Deuteronomy where it talks about, you know, your brother, brothers or, you know, those who were tender among one another. Can you help me with that? It was like talking about men being tender one toward another. In this day and time, if you talk about a man being tender toward another man, the first thing that comes to their mind is some homosexual activity. You know what I mean? But these cats was nothing to walk up on with disrespect. I mean, King David and these cats, I don't really think there's, you know, many if any men today that could stand with the, I'm talking about against them physically, and about like that. But, you know, they knew to be careful with one another. They were tender to us. And that tenderness left because of sin. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So we are supposed, you know, David said in the Psalms that thy gentleness has made me great. Brother, that's a power. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's two meanings to that when I hear that. My spirit tells me, for one thing, the first meaning is the patience of the Father has allowed him to live long enough to see greatness.
Right.
And then the second meaning of thy gentleness has made me great, as he adopted the gentleness of the Father toward his fellow man. And that gave him greatness. So God's patience is his gentleness and his patience gave him time to become great. And his gentleness and his patience was an example of how he should function in gentleness toward his fellow man that made him great as well. So those are the two insights that I've gotten, the downloads, I call them, from the Spirit. And it's not like I read it. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, I mean, it's just, I think you can see that. You see what I'm saying? You know, it doesn't necessarily say those two things, but that it has to be because David was great. Yeah. The character, the gentleness, man, that's what's going to cause, back to your point, the Gentiles coming and bowing at the Israel of God, because that's where it's at, the Israel of God. That's it. Because the Israelites of the world are not actually Israelites, you know.
Well, that's why all
Israel is not Israel. Yeah,
that's right. It's levels to this. It's levels to this.
Levels.
You can't be
absolute
an Israelite if you're not even understanding what it is to be a light.
what it is to be a light, bro.
That's right.
Come on.
And just running around talking about I'm a Israelite, or I'm a Hebrew, or I'm a this, or I'm a that.
Come on.
See, and that's something else.
Yes,
the world has messed our minds up to believe that we have to be termed something. See, the world gives everybody these terms so that they could blame. Well, it was your fault. It was those leftists' fault. It was those Zionists' fault. It was these black folks' fault. It was these white folks. See, but when you are a light, now you're the fault lies at the Father's feet. And believe you me, no man will ever. You've never heard in any ancient time of anyone faulting our Father. You don't hear that. Now you get you get ignorance of people going, well, God, why did you kill my daughter? Why did my daughter have to go?
Why did my son and my father, my mama, my grand,
no, whatever. That's just them venting off their own emotion. But you've never really heard, even the heathens and the Gentiles don't come out to the Creator and just straight up talk crazy about blaming him for anything. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
So the terminology of Hebrew Israelite, that's gone. That's passé. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
What it is today is just a straight light. It's a spiritual light, because we have to the jump off of the increase of knowledge was Israelite. Okay, so we're Israelites. We're Israel. We're Hebrew. We're Israel. We're Israelites. Well, because that, to your point earlier on in the conversation, because that's been muddied, now we have to elevate to the next phase. We have to be elevated to the next phase. And the elevation to the next phase is what? A spiritual light. And
spiritual.
It only makes sense.
The Third Testament talked about that.
A spiritualist. That's right.
Yeah,
spiritual light.
That's
right. You know?
Yeah.
It only makes sense.
Spiritual light. That's right.
Because at this point, We're changing from the physical to the spiritual, from the material to the spiritual. So all of this has to now be part of a spiritual awakening,
spiritual
understanding, a spiritual light.
Man,
right.
I love that, man. I love that spiritual light, bro. Now, any of the nations that I encounter, they can understand that. What do you do? You know, are you a Christian? Well, I'm a spiritual light. I like that. I take no credit for that.
Hey,
man, that's the spirit, though. That's the spirit. I mean, listen, you know, when you come to serve me, do what? Serve me in spirit and in truth. So,
that's
you
right.
know, there it is, brother, you know, a spiritual light, man, a spiritual light. Absolutely. And I love it. Man. That's right. And a spiritual light is with the Israel of God are spiritual lights, brother.
Because there's a church called the Israelite of God Church out there. I'm trying to stay away from any and everything that the world has. So for me, I'm just a spiritual light. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm changing the game fundamentally. And again, I first heard spiritual light from Sister Pat. So I got no qualms of giving her credit on that, because she brought
absolutely.
That forward.
Yeah.
And so I'm just keeping it moving, because I understand. And I've always talked about Jacob's ladder.
Right.
And Jacob's ladder, that's the ultimate. In order to attain pure light, you have to be in the spirit realm. So the further we go up the ladder,
man, that makes perfect
the further we
sense,
ascend,
bro.
That's
I,
right. We become
yeah.
a spiritual.
Oh, man. Man, I ride with that, brother. I ride with that.
And Israelite is someone who is in the material, because that's what the Israelite represented, the material. Not material.
Now, are there scriptures that talk about Israel above and Israel below?
Let's see.
I think that's Israel above and Israel below. So, you know, again, man, with all of the bad behavior, man, it makes you want to put your word Israel away, don't it? Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean,
it's unfortunate, man.
And that's the beauty of That's the beauty. What is this, Jeremiah 37?
Is that it?
Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed. No, that's not it. That's not it. That's not the right one. That's the measure of Israel. Nah, you're gonna have to find that and send that to me. But it goes all. It all goes. This whole thing is about us having wisdom to give empathy. We cannot just give our empathy freely. In order to give the empathy, we have to have wisdom. In order to have wisdom, we have to be able to self-reflect, self-convict, and self-correct. There's no way through the door without doing those things. There's just no way through the door. You can't go in filthy. You can't go in half-assed. It's just not going to work. When we go through the door, we kick off the Israelite tag, and we see things as they are, which is just straight spiritual. And we pick up our sword, and we pick up and put on our armor. We pick up our shield, and we get into the war. See, when we're an Israelite, we ain't in the war. We just out here battling, talking, being physical, being material. But when we come to the spiritual light awareness, now we're ready for war. We're ready for the true war. And that's where we're headed to right now. That's my download. That's why, last week I wasn't frustrated, but I was a bit disgusted at the heathens and Ish and the Gentiles. And I was like, listen, this is not our fight. We have another fight.
Right.
Our fight is going to be the war. This is just skirmishes of the heathen and the Gentile. The war is the spiritual war that we are being prepared for. We're being prepped for. But we're being distracted by the heathen and the Gentiles because they realize that once we stand up a mighty army of the Father, of the true Creator, it's a wrap. And I'm not even talking about just a wrap in terms of it's a wrap, meaning like when you go to your room and you turn on the lights, the darkness is gone. Just like it's a wrap. It's done. When we enter war, we're not even in the war yet. We're still in basic training. And as we basic train ourselves to get into the war, we have to do certain things. And that's all I keep screaming about. That's all I've been screaming from the mountaintops, just screaming, get your shit together, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to come a point. Come a point where you're not going to be able to get it together anymore. You're going to have missed basic training, and we don't have to be tripping over them. We don't have to be so concerned about what they. It's like they're going to kill each other. Let them kill each other. Nobody's mad at them. Nobody's really concerned about them because everything has already been written. We've gotten to the point where we have seen the promised land. Okay? We've seen the end game. And we've got to the point where we're just going through the motions getting to the end game. We have to continue to build, continue to clean up, continue to work, continue to learn all the way through. We can't get complacent. Because the moment we get complacent is the moment that we're going to miss out on what is necessary for our growth in the spiritual war. Again, we are in spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a spiritual light to battle in a spiritual war.
In a spiritual war, man. Come on, man. I love that spiritual light, brother. That's it right there. That's what it is, man. That's what it is, brother. That's something special right there, man. And you know, of course, not that I'm gonna take it to be someone special, but I'm just saying it's a very clear view of who we are to be to enter in, man. You have to, you need to be a spiritual light. I have something here that speaks to what you're talking about in terms of the concern of, you know, what we have to do to be received of the Father. And, you know, it's a big deal, man, just really to trust HaMashiach in terms of what he says about those who the Father has given them. No one can pluck them out of his hand, you know, pluck them out of his hand. John 10:27-28. So it's my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. And that's let me get the King James. Mm-hmm. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then, you know, 27 goes to say, and I give them into the eternal life, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, you know, when I would encourage any brother or sister listening now, man, if you could, you know, if you're having greater conscious sensitivity, thank God for that, and, you know, conscious sensitivity concerning sin, you know, thank the Father for that and ask for an increase, because if you're becoming sensitive to the things that are wrong that you're doing, and that is the call of the Father on your life, you know, and that's what happened to me in the 80s, man. I just started to feel so, you know, really like a fear was coming over me, you know, and of course it would come and go, you know, for years it would come and go, you know, I would have these, you know, fear, and all of a sudden I'm doing something crazy again, you know, so we could go back to the, you know, thy gentleness has made me great. Now, I'm not saying I'm great. I'm just saying, you know, you just become greater in your trust. You know, you right. have greater trust and greater self-control and a greater ability to keep unto your body, all of the things you're supposed to do, you know. To be a representative, you be a greater representative, you know, because right. I position myself as a student for life in everything, whatever, if it's music, if it's art, I just tell my, be a student for life, always hear what someone else has to say. Don't ever be a know-it-all. And you know, that would take you into a high function. But when you plant your feet and say you got it, you're on your way down, bro.
Right. When you claim that you know it all, it's a wrap for you.
It's done, man. It's like a flower or anything growing out of the ground. When it stops growing, it does what? It dies. So we have to stay in a position to keep growing and to be, you know, being careful and maintaining growth. And learning to deal with, I like what Brother Yaquab said, as well, learning how to be bored, like not have nothing to do. That used to drive me crazy, brother. But just learn how to. Yeah, ain't it get, bro? You talking about trouble? Oh,
yeah.
Got me in a lot of trouble, man. Ain't nothing to do. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna find something to do, and it's gonna be all wrong, bro. Yeah. I was good at being wrong, brother. I love sin to tears. I mean, literally, I could cry. I was enjoying it so much, you know. But it was just really hurting me, hurting my whole existence, man. And I'm just, man, I can't tell you how grateful I am to have been called to hear and allowed to hear and be sensitive, man, to my mess, man. You know what I'm saying,
yep.
And to finally meet brothers like you and Yaquad, man. It's, bro, it's been like, an amazing journey, brother. And this is a great place to be, having met you in Yaquad, that you're encouraging me to get off the fence and just have the conversation, man. And, I feel the Fathers is shutting down all of the beat down, the mental beat down I've received. And it wasn't, trust me, it wasn't direct. You know, it was indirect, but you know what I'm saying? You feel it. And, I didn't have anybody telling me nothing crazy directly, but, they have a nice way of saying, hey, yeah, you ain't ready yet.
And the real
deal is they're not ready to hear the upgrade that you have for them, you know. The Father's giving you an upgrade that they ain't trying to hear, right?
That's the key.
Absolutely. I pray and hope for them brothers every day though, man. It's brothers out here, man, that they went through things with brothers in camps, man, and when they separate from them, they beat them to death for the rest of their life, and just don't ever let it go, man. You deal with it, let them know, hey, man, you brothers are off right now, but once you separate, man, the Father's watching how you dealing with the conversation, man. I pray and hope that each and every one of them brothers, man, wake up to the love, man. Because, I mean, honestly, I had some great times with them, just generally speaking, man. Those were my dudes, I mean, all that testosterone going around, we was tripping, having fun. They having, Shabbat, and after they breaking out Hennessy.
Right.
And look, I wasn't drinking. At that time, man. But I'm like, okay, y'all feel like real old ancient Hebrews, the ones that got us in this mess, right?
Exactly.
So I'm like, they don't realize how off and all of that pride to think that you could act that way and drink and get your head bad with hard liquor. Wine was fine, man. People wanted to have wine and food or whatever, man. But when you lose your character through substance, you're in sin,
That's right.
So, and a lot of that was taking place, man. But, again, man, I thank the Father for you, man, for the invite. And, I want to shout out to Yaquad. And I thank him for the encouragement and actually him for him introducing me to you.
Yes, sir. That's nothing but the Father, brother.
I feel like I've known you for a long time.
mm-hmm.
Like when I met you, it's like I already knew you, that type of
thing. Exactly. It's been a long time, and it really hasn't, but it's been a long time, It's been a long time,
Yeah,
well, listen, brother, we have come to the end. It was a fantastic conversation. And I do appreciate you, man. You're well appreciated, and I appreciate that conversation. And these conversations will continue as they normally do with us.
Appreciate you.
The rest of the brothers, And I invite other brothers and sisters to reach out to me, and they want to have conversations. Come on. Let's do this thing. Let me see something I'll tell you right now. I got spots. Bunches of people. So, come on over and have this conversation. And, I'll tell you, send me an email to tell me, and we can get some things straight and all that. But send me an email if you really want to have a conversation. My email is naeruj12@gmail.com naeruj12@gmail.com Brother Shamari.
Yeah, and if you could mention the merits that they putting your treasures in heaven by even coming on and having these conversations, man. I love that the brother speaks about it.
Yeah.
To encourage people to come out. And if it's just one person that you help that hears something that changes their life and causes them to see and hear the Father, then you've done your job, man.
That's
right. I mean, that holds a lot of weight for you in eternity.
It does.
So,
and we're doing our part, and that's what this is about. So, brothers and sisters, nothing but love, and we appreciate you listening, and we hope to listen that you listen more. And at the end of the day, this is just what we do. We're just trying to do what the Father wants us to do. Actually, I'm taking that back. We ain't trying no more. We are doing what the Father has put forth us to do. All right. So, brother Shamar, thank you again. I appreciate that. That was fantastic.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
And we'll do this
thank
again.
You so much.
We'll do it again. All praises.
I appreciate you helping me break the ice.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again. We'll get you up. All
Amen.
Praises, family. All praises, brother. And we'll talk. And
all praise.
And everybody be at peace. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Grace and peace, brother.